Good morning. Thank you. What a phenomenal day that we've had yesterday. There's certainly new energy in healthcare. We heard from many systems on national scale and influence, but regional relevance, engaging consumers, AI transforming from just learning how to use it, but actual implementation and seeing results. And we have another phenomenal day today with world-renowned institutions all the way through lunch, Mayo, Johns Hopkins, Duke, Dallas Children's, and HSS, and we're kicking off with Common Spirit, and we're thrilled to have everybody back here. Again, the energy from yesterday, we're excited to continue it today, and we saw it from Jamie at the Four Seasons. Hopefully folks were there about energy not only in healthcare, but just for the future looking forward. So I do want to make sure that we do a few housekeeping items this morning. As folks know, this goes through about noon. There will be lunch served here, box lunch again, and there will be a keynote speaker that will be streamed into this space just like there was yesterday. So kicking off this morning, we're really pleased to have Common Spirit. It's one of America's largest nonprofits and most diverse health systems, with more than 20 million patient encounters in both rural communities and urban cities from coast to coast. Common Spirit today has over 150,000 employees, 25,000 physicians and advanced practice providers, and approximately 2,300 care sites in 24 states across the entire care continuum. In fiscal year 2024, Common Spirit generated total revenues of over $37 billion and provided $4.2 billion in charity care, community benefit, and unreimbursed government programs. We are honored to have Wright Lassiter III, Common Spirit CEO, and Dan Morissette, CFO, presenting today. Please welcome Mr. Lassiter, who will kick off today's presentation. Right.
Good morning, everyone. Wow. All right, I'm going to have to be rousing in my presentation because you weren't rousing in your response to good morning. So it's clear that we're still a little sleepy this morning. And so Dan and I plan to entertain you for the next 37 minutes and 23 seconds. And we expect that after this, your mood will be changed and the rest of your day will be enhanced by the presentation of Common Spirit. All right. Okay. So, noted. Applause. Noted. All right. Okay. Great. Listen, Dan and I. Well, let me begin by what's not an applause-worthy moment, which is our disclaimer, which our team always says to make sure we include our disclaimer, so you know what this presentation is and what it's not. And so, with that, I'll move on to the actual presentation. So we're pleased to be with you this morning. We're pleased to share the story of Common Spirit Health, to share the journey that we're on, and most importantly, to share the progress we've made since the last time we were in front of you. As you heard from Megan as she began our introduction, you see on this slide a bit of a description of who we are, and this really hasn't changed appreciably. We start with our mission statement and what we stand for, and would say that that mission statement hasn't changed from the moment that we founded our ministry in February of 2019. You heard previously that we've got over 150,000 team members who work hard every day trying to deliver the best possible care to communities across a couple dozen states of the United States. We're excited by the fact that more than 20 million people a year trust us for their care and services. We're excited about the fact that we're continuing to see growth year over year in terms of revenue, in terms of profitability and sustainability. We're pleased by the fact that as we talk with communities around support, last year we saw the largest amount of philanthropic support, pardon me, that we've seen in the history of our organization, generating more than $300 million in charitable contributions across all of our markets. We're excited by the fact that we continue to deliver care across all continuum. We deliver rural health, general health care through acute care services, tertiary and quaternary care in academic centers across the country. We're excited by the fact that we have strong partnerships with some of the country's most preferred academic institutions. We continue to train tomorrow's healthcare providers with more than 3,000 residents and fellows trained in our facilities on an annual basis. And so all of those things are things that that we at Common Spirit are quite proud of and that sort of make us who we are. And we continue to serve those communities and feel comfortable with the progress we're making as an organization and what we have in store for our communities as we go forward. While I'm not a big fan of history, because you can't do anything about it, I am focused on ensuring we always understand where we've come from to shape where we're going. And so while I won't go through all of this slide, unpack it all for you, it gives you a bit of sense of where we are. Next month, we'll celebrate our sixth anniversary as a ministry, as Common Spirit Health, being formed in February of 2019. And you can see the evolution that that we've had over that period of time. You see our early history where there was a lot of focus on bringing two legacy organizations together, having a shared office of the CEO with those two legacy CEOs, bringing our ministry into one. You see the focus that most M&A has oftentimes when they put things together. You talk about what will you save on behalf of the communities that you're serving. And so you see an initial $2 billion synergy target, which we're excited to say that we have accomplished and are moving on to bigger and better things. You will notice that we pivoted, as you all did, if you're in the provider space during the pandemic, to focus on things that, for someone who grew up in the South in a Baptist church, people would always say things like, "You think you're in control until the man upstairs changes the agenda," and that did for all of us around the pandemic. So we focused a lot. We refocused quite a bit from what would have been our plan around mergers, synergy, and integration to delivering care during a crisis. And then we emerged from that like most of you did, refocused on, so what's the next agenda? And for us, the next agenda was moving on to where we are today with a CEO and leadership team that would take the organization forward, where the focus wouldn't be as much on how do you bring it together, but on how do you transform going forward. And that's what we've done since my arrival in late 2022 and until now. You'll notice that we've been out to the markets. We are fairly frequently out to the markets. We have refinanced to focus on our capital sustainability and flexibility, just shy of $11 billion worth of debt during our existence. We've issued almost another $3 billion in new debt to fund our future and to fund our capital deployment plans. And we're at a place now where our focus really is on how do we bring the promise of the Common Spirit merger into existence, into fruition. How do we become an integrated operating company? How do we use size and scale to not only deliver the best possible care, but the best possible patient experience, best possible patient experience, and the best possible employee experience? And how do we do the thing that some in the room may still be wondering, is it possible bringing two large legacy organizations, making them better, delivering higher quality, lower cost, and long-term sustainability? And so we'll talk a bit about that over the next 31 minutes and 9 seconds as to how we are pulling that off. And Dan will do quite a bit of that as I transition through the presentation. When we think about serving communities and we think about what we're trying to accomplish, it's really important that while this is a financial and investors conference and there's a focus here on sustainability from a financial perspective, performance, growth, all those metrics which are important to all of us, we always want to begin first and foremost with why we're in business, and that is, are we delivering the best possible patient care? Are we delivering it safely? Are we delivering in a way that has compassion and that responds to communities' needs? We're excited about a lot of things that have happened over the last year. We're excited about the fact that our quality and safety metrics have improved in a significant way. When we reflect on 24 verses 23, we continue to tell our team we have a lot to be proud of. When we look at quality and safety metrics, we're excited by the fact that we've had improvement from as little as 5 percentile points to, frankly, more than 35 percentile points year over year. All those things we're quite excited about. We're excited about being in the 86th percentile nationally in terms of heart failure mortality. We're excited about being in the 79th percentile nationally as it relates to surgical complications. We're excited about being in the top quarter of the country in terms of wellness screening. So it's not just about acute care and the metrics there. It's also about ambulatory care. It's also about chronic care. And it's about population health for us. And so all those things make us quite excited. While we don't audition necessarily for prizes, but we're always excited when we get awards. We're excited to have 88% of our hospitals that are leapfrog A or B. That's about a 30 percentile point improvement over the last several years. And we're excited that of those leapfrog A hospitals, six of them are top performers, and that we have top performing hospitals in rural care and general care and in teaching. And so all those things sort of tell us that we're on the right track in terms of doing what's important for our communities, which is delivering the best, highest quality, and most safe care that we can, and focusing on how do we do that at an appropriate cost level. And we're also excited about the fact that in an industry that sometimes gets criticized for how well it does or doesn't focus on consumerism, that experience in our organization continues to improve. It's a journey that we continue to work on, but we're very excited by our patient experience numbers. We're excited to have a 4.9% provider rating from a star perspective. We've evolved our monitoring and management of patient experience, so it's not just about patient satisfaction and the traditional metrics, but we're now focused on net promoter score, which as many of you know, in most consumer industries, net promoter score is a better way to determine how your consumers feel about you than some of our traditional health, hospital, and health-centric metrics. And having a 68-point net promoter score is something that we're proud of, but our work is not over, and we have more work to do there. I mentioned last year that one of my primary focus points when I arrived at the organization and spent a bit of time evaluating where we were in our journey was to drive our organization to be focused as a unified system, that we were an organization that still functioned a lot like the vestiges of its component parts, and that while respecting legacy is critically important, but one of the ways, one of the levers that CommonSpirit expected to drive success in its alignment in 2019 was to function as a unified system, to be integrated. And so we talked a lot about this notion of our One CommonSpirit initiative. A year ago when we were here, we had just kicked it off, and we're now at a place where we can say that we're beginning to see the fruits of that labor. And so we're very excited about all the things that that come with that, even those pain points, because as you know, adults and change sometimes are not water and water. They're oil and water. But we feel really good about our leadership team and its ability to drive change and to develop a unified system. As we think about where we're focused, some of you know that we had great complexity in terms of our technology platform at CommonSpirit Health. We had more EHR versions than I have fingers on both hands. And we had more versions of ambulatory EHRs than I have fingers on my hands and toes on my feet and Dan has on his body. And so we're really excited to say that we're moving very fast and aggressively towards our one EHR platform. We're also excited by the fact that we're moving very aggressively toward a single ERP platform so that some of the legacy encumbrances that exist at CommonSpirit will soon not exist any longer. And those things obviously require time, require phasing, and require a lot of capital. But our board and senior management are very focused on moving aggressively toward that, and we thank our technology team, led by Dan Barchi, on that regard. We're also excited by the progress we've made in rolling out national programs across the entirety of our ministry. And many of those things, some of those things we talked about last year, frankly, all of those things are frankly more mature today than they were this time last year. And so things like our national nursing residency program, our virtually integrated care model across the system, our patient connection centers, our virtual patient monitoring centers, things that previously either didn't exist or existed in buckets and pockets across the ministry, we now have spread across the entirety of our enterprise, and we're able to leverage size and scale. We're really pleased with the progress we've made around reorganizing the organization, focusing on markets. We now look at our organization constantly as a 35 market enterprise. And within those 35 markets, we've organized 23 management markets. So we now have a focus that's very keenly and sharply arranged around how well are we doing with market position and market potential, with 23 market presidents that are very focused on ensuring that we meet the community's needs as they come to us. We think that that kind of focus has allowed us to have growth year over year. We've experienced about a 7% growth year over year in admissions. As I mentioned, our operating revenue has grown as well, and we think that is partly because we've had more market focus over the last year plus than we might have had in the past. And for those of you who care about things like margins and have been pressing us around, are our margins improving? Are they improving fast enough? I would say they're never improving fast enough, but they are improving substantially. And so we've gone from a couple-point margin to just shy of a four-point margin from fiscal 23 to fiscal 24. Our results for first quarter of fiscal 25 were quite impressive year-over-year, again, growth. And we haven't reported our Q2 results as of yet, and I see our team look at me saying, we haven't reported those yet, so don't say anything. I'll just say that they're even better than Q1. And so the good news is we're seeing quarter over quarter, year over year improvement. And so we're pleased with that. And you see, a presentation wouldn't be a presentation if you didn't have a little bit of brag in your slide deck. And so we try to put a little bit of that there because we wouldn't want you to be disappointed as you leave our presentation. We're excited to be recognized by Fortune Magazine as one of America's Dream Employers. As they evaluated a large number of organizations across the country, we were ranked 26th in the nation. And so the number is less relevant than, frankly, being recognized for the work that our leaders are doing around making our place the best place to deliver care and to get your and to focus your activities. As we talk about systemness, I would just share these five focus points for our organization. As I mentioned earlier, market orientation, national programs, I'm focusing critically on a digital consumer experience, unifying our systems, I mentioned previously, and portfolio transformation. And I would say that in all of those cases, we are focused on what are the activities we need to drive meeting the consumer's needs more effectively. Market orientation, I've mentioned previously. Our national programs, I've also mentioned. Would just say that, again, we have rolled out as of not quite a year ago a new approach to our digital consumer experience. We had, frankly, a website like some of you in the room that was less than exciting, difficult to navigate, hard to have our consumers focus on what needs they need to have met. I'm excited that our strategy team led by Sherry Shapiro and others have done a really incredible job of reorienting that. We've seen immediate results. We've seen increased physician appointment scheduling. We've seen a rise in consumers telling us that we've made it better. And then we know that there's still more to make better, and so we continue to focus on that as well. I've mentioned unifying systems. I won't mention that any further. I know that some in the room that are really excited to always hear from us about portfolio transformation. And that means different things to different people, obviously. For us, it's meant a combination of how do we evaluate, is Common Spirit the best system to deliver care to a community? It's also focused on how do we ensure that we have the totality of healthcare offerings in the markets that meets the community's needs most effectively. And so in that regard, we're doing all the things you might expect us to do. As you know, we've divested of facilities here in San Francisco, not because we weren't committed to the community, but because we felt that we weren't the best health system to deliver the services that were there, which is why I faux pawed and said 36 markets versus 35, because I'm still getting used to the fact that it's 35 now. In other places, we've added, as we think about ambulatory care and how do we ensure that we have a robust offering across all the continuum of care, we have significantly increased the number of ambulatory offerings across many of our markets, and we will continue to do that and continue to look for ways to do that. When we think about portfolio transformation, we also think about are we delivering all of the needs that a community might have. We launched a partnership with LifePoint last year to help us do more around behavioral medicine. And so we'll be expanding that and thinking more critically about how do we have behavioral medicine be a more significant part of our offerings. As we think about portfolio transformation, we also think about things like value-based care and how well we're able to deliver services for tomorrow as opposed to services for today. And so, again, we're really excited about the progress we've made. As you'll hear from us next year, we'll make even more progress going forward this year into that as we go into 2026. As I think about the final thing I want to just share with you would say that we're in an interesting place in Common Spirit's history. We're about to finish our Common Spirit 2026 roadmap, which was launched not long after our alignment, our merger, our creation. And we're now at a place of thinking about what is the next strategic direction? How do we lead our board through and our management team through a process for what is the strategy for the future for Common Spirit? And so as you see listed on this page, we've got a combination of what are the things we think are our strategic focus and then what are our near-term priorities. I'll just start with the near-term priorities by saying that I think you heard us last year say that we were launching something called 5 for 25, which was a focus critically on how do we ensure we have sustainability over the next 18 months. What are those activities that take us through the balance of calendar year 24 and all of calendar year 25 to continue to drive performance growth, market enhancement across our organization? And you see those five things listed below, and Dan will get into a few of those and talk to you more about how we're doing things to leverage systems more, to ensure we get paid for the work that we do, how do we drive organic growth and network integrity. And so you'll see those five focus points there. And when you think about strategic focus, frankly, we will do what many of you will do in your own organizations, and that is continue to focus on how do we diversify across the care continuum. And that is a big focus for us. It is significantly centered around ambulatory care, but that's not the only thing it's centered around. I mentioned behavioral health previously. I mentioned population health services and our ability to take on risk and value-based care. We're excited about the fact that last year we had about $172 million in shared revenues related to value-based services. And so how do we leverage that even further for the future? As we think about strategic focus, we have to always keep our focus on the fact that if we don't support the people who do the work, much of our strategies will fall on deaf ears and it will never be implemented. So we're very focused on how do we ensure that Common Spirit is the best employer that we can possibly be. We also believe, as I mentioned earlier, that if we don't deliver a differentiated customer experience, at some point in time, all the strategies that we employ will be less than successful. And so we are really committed to Common Spirit delivering a top-notch consumer experience across all of our markets. And then lastly, I would say we're going to leverage technology to its fullest extent. We're going to do that in multiple ways. We're going to do that in terms of the delivery of care. We're going to do that in terms of solving tomorrow's problems for care. We have lots of partnerships that we didn't talk explicitly about today, but partnerships with entities like Truveta and others that will help us utilize data in a way that we think will not only deliver better patient care in the communities we serve, help us drive reduction in health inequities, and help us deliver on our mission. And so, again, I would just say to you that we're excited by the progress we've made thus far, more work to come. And now I want to turn it over to Dan so we can get into a little more of the nitty-gritty of what we're doing to drive success. Dan?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Wright. And as you, those of you who know me well know that rarely am I at a loss for words. But, you know, I'm trying to come up with a joke. I can't come up with one today. So anyway, so good morning. I want to also thank J.P. Morgan for not only being a good partner with us, but also for hosting us at this conference. I don't know how many years in a row, Lisa, it's pretty embarrassing how many years in a row we've presented here. So so Wright touched on this. I will say, I'll just give you a short version of FY24, which is here. And that is that we had a year that was definitely better than the year before. And, you know, we don't issue forward-looking statements, but, you know, we expect FY25 to be better than FY24. And, you know, this is quite a journey. I've been in this business for a long, long time, and it's for a national healthcare provider like we are who take all comers, it's never been more challenging out there than what we're dealing with. So as Wright points out, but we've taken a bunch of steps to help improve that gap between the growing expenses and the growing, but growing at a slower rate, revenues. So we've done a lot with value capture. We continue to document this stuff internally, not to impress our investors, but because it's necessary work for us to be a disciplined management team to do the things to make sure that our business is viable going forward. And then Wright touched on this, but because this is an investor conference, I want to say the bond financing was very successful for us, and we always thank our investors. We're also pleased to receive a rating upgrade from Moody's. I would say, I don't know if the Moody's people are here or not, but I will say, well-deserved, should have been a few years earlier, but as, you know the old saying, better late than never, but in any event, it's still important in these difficult times. And then finally, and I'll move here pretty quick so we can get to a few questions, but, our investment portfolio, we've got an incredible team of professionals, a great governance model, and a diversified investment portfolio that's really, really helped us in a lot of ways, not only from an absolute base. I mean, all of us can look at what the stock market's done the last couple of years, but have really outperformed the objective benchmarks year after year. And then, of course, at the bottom of the page is our little advertisement for our investor website. So, again, I think I just want to touch on two or three of these things really quick. Wright mentioned this. I mean, we've got a big, complicated business with 35 markets, and, you know, we're all over the place with stuff. So the trick for us is to not only remember the strategy of where we're headed, more ambulatory, less focus on the acute stuff, but really the things that we can do now to help move the needle, you know, especially in a big organization like ours. And so, you know, I won't bore you with all of these, but I'll just tell you, like, for example, we've got an incredibly robust nursing residency program. I think we have about 1,600 or so residents in that program now, and it's really just been dramatically successful. And I know nurse retention has gotten better after its trough, but I think ours have gotten even better than that. It's really been remarkable. And then the other points are the patient connection center and our digital front door. The access to the consumer for us has been, I don't want to say it's an afterthought. It's just if you have, you know, 1,700 websites and they all have different ways of tracking things. I mean, our team, you know, has really done a tremendous job of find a physician, schedule appointments online and the like. So, you know, if you want to compete in this market, you've got to, of course, be competitive. And then finally, I just want to mention, I can't help but mention the payers. I'm sure some of them are here. I really, it's been a, the amount of denials. We've said this on our webcast over and over again, so I won't bore you with the whole thing, but the amount of denials, and even when you go through this laborious process of getting things appealed, you know, we actually win most of them. So which tells you there's something wrong with the system. So we've been trying to work with our payers through our managed care teams to have standardized language. And then frankly to have contract adherence. You know, people ask questions. A reporter asked yesterday about what our rate increases are, which obviously we don't disclose, but you know, that matters. It doesn't matter, but complying with the contract actually matters probably more than what we have. So I'm going to kind of pass on some of this stuff, except to say, as Wright said, this is a big ship. You're only going to get portfolio transformation through accumulation of a bunch of small market-based things and making a couple of big moves. And that's kind of what we're sort of working our way toward. And again, we kind of covered this. Wright mentioned Kaiser, so I'll just say we're really thrilled to have that partnership. It's obviously in its infancy stage, but the Colorado market's very important to us. So, for example, we just purchased land in South Denver where we plan to add clinical sites, really so that we can circle the care sites there. And then, of course, University of Utah, we had the announcement recently where we have a clinical affiliation or an affiliation with them where University of Utah physicians will be available in all five of our hospitals in Utah in various forms. And then I think I'm going to just kind of keep moving for the sake of it, except I do want to mention we did have a recent announcement on one of our critical access hospitals, Devil's Lake Hospital, that we've entered into a LOI to potentially transfer that to another entity. And then finally, before I have Wright come and say a couple of final comments, these are the things we're working on in FY25. I think most of the people who know provider-based healthcare could probably pass the quiz on these things, but we have a lot of opportunity. We've made a lot of progress, but we still believe we have a disproportionate amount of opportunity in some of these areas as we work harder and harder on what systemness really is, and trying to get the things done that make a difference. I'll point out, even though all of these are important, I'll just point out on the supply chain, we are relying on ourselves and our own GPO much more than we were in the past. But probably as importantly is that we're working on things like the fun things like physician preferences and prioritization, standardization of some of the devices and supplies and so on that they use. So it's been, fortunately we've been able to hold on to our supply chain person because, you know, I do like business therapy sessions with her at least once a week. So, but we've got lots of stuff going. The numbers we expect, like I say, we don't make forward-looking statement. I'll just say we hope we'll be better than they were in FY24. And it's not by osmosis. It's because we've got a really great management team working hard to get these things done. So with that, I'll let Wright kind of wrap us up if you'd like.
I'll just conclude with this so we can take a few questions. We recognize, as you heard from both my comments and Dan's, that there's no one single thing. There's no magic bullet for Common Spirit. For our success, it's going to require a combination of continuing to execute on operating initiatives, and we're excited that we have the most talented operating officer in the country, Terrica Richardson, leading that process. Thank you, Terrica. We appreciate the work she's done in her first year with us and more to come, and so we're excited by that. We know that it will require a strategy that allows us to make some investments. And as Dan said, you know, we're looking at what might be a couple big moves that will actually move the needle more quickly. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we're excited that Sherry leads our strategy function. Sherry Shapiro leads our strategy function, and we'll continue to look at ways to make that better. We're excited by the fact that our technology investments and our technology strategy, the roadmap we have over the next 10 years will put us in a new position, we think, related to our ability to leverage technology, to leverage AI and the like. And our best foundation, frankly, is the values of our organization, the people who do the work. And our belief is with those first things I mentioned and people and values, we will be very successful into the future. And so with that, we've got 5 minutes and 31 seconds for questions. And so I think that'll allow us to take as many questions as Megan facilitates. So thank you very much for listening.
Excellent. Thank you, Wright. Thank you, Dan, for that presentation. We'll start with one question that has been a pretty consistent theme for you, I think, through the maybe 15 years that you've presented here, so thank you. You talked a little bit about portfolio transformation in your comments. As the healthcare landscape continues to evolve, consolidation, new entrants, disruptors, how will CommonSpirit's business portfolio look to change over the next 2 to 3 years?
2 to 3 years, great. So here's what, you know, CommonSpirit's a hospital delivery system, right? So we've got 150-plus hospitals, a couple thousand ambulatory and other sites. What we know is this. We will always be in the hospital business, but we also know that if we're only in the hospital business, we won't be financially sustainable given what we're trying to accomplish. So... And as we have evaluated every portion of our portfolio, what we also know is the acute care business is the lowest margin producer of all the things we do. And so that sort of naturally says that while we will never leave acute care, we've got to do more in the full continuum of care. I think most of us who operate in the provider space know that most of the ambulatory things we do deliver a greater margin than the acute care services we provide, especially if you operate in states where commercial reimbursement is small, low, constrained, whatever adjective you want to use. So so we're going to continue, and we also know that if we want to really deliver comprehensively on managing the health of a population, that you don't do that in the four walls of a hospital. You do that in other care continuum. So we're going to continue to invest fully in the care continuum. We'll continue to invest even more in ambulatory services. We continue to push our health at home and senior living national enterprises to do more. And to round out their services, not just where it's convenient, but where it serves what is a large and complex acute care footprint. So we'll continue to evaluate ways to do that better. And we'll do that in a variety of ways. We'll do that through through organic growth. We grew a lot last year in ambulatory sites, and we will look at partnerships where we think it makes sense to sort of move the needle.
Thank you.
No, I think that's. I agree.
Dan, you talked about, I think if I wrote it down correctly, value capture of about $580 million in 2024. Exceptional size and broad geographic diversification has always been core strengths of your organization. So when it comes to addressing industry headwinds, which continue with labor, inflation, et cetera, and reimbursement, how do you balance strategies between a national coordinated response versus regional or more individualized approach?
So that's a great question. I was going to say very carefully, but I was trying to be funny. But anyway, first of all, we have standardized approaches to how things are to be handled at every market. But mostly, when we did our new operating model, the market drives a lot of the way that we handle adversity or challenges or opportunities, et cetera, right? So each market is different. I mean, we have markets that are in California that are almost the majority capitation. We have markets that have never heard the word capitation before, right? So we have unions, we have places without unions, you know, et cetera. So the point is, well, we have national standards around how to be assertive and a market and a leader in these improvement initiatives. We also have market folks who know what's going to actually work in their individual group. And, you know, the trick for us from a national standpoint is to roll those up, if you will, in a sensible way, and to spread the good work that's done in one market to other markets, you know, so that we're not all, you know, 35 autonomous markets doing whatever it is they want to do, but rather we're spreading best practices around.
Thank you, Dan. And I think that is all the time that we have this morning. So I just want to say thank you to you both and your team for being a consistent presenter at our conference and for your remarks today. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan.